And so apostles are being restored so as to bring the fivefold ministry to another place. What happens then? Because it's not the coming of Christ. See, I probably should comment on this as an aside. Back in the 1980s, it was common to think that the world would end soon, Christ would come soon. And because we had seen the restoration of evangelists and pastors and teachers, some people started to realize that, oh, we will see the restoration of prophets and we'll see the restoration of apostles. And I can point this out to you in some books where this was written up and a timeline was drawn up and it showed that, oh, apostles will be restored in the 1990s and then around the year 2000, Christ will return. And the thinking was, apostles were the first thing that the church had lost, so it will be the last thing that is restored. Just a simple kind of table in history. And so the assumption was, when apostles are restored, the church is ready for the coming of Christ. But no, as you can see, that didn't happen. No, it's because it was actually the precursor to something much, much bigger to come. And if you think about it, apostles might have been the first thing lost to the church around about AD 140, but the church had already had more than 100 years of history. That was 100 years of evangelism of the nations. In fact, in the first 40 years, from AD 30 to AD 70, the gospel had been taken to every city, every town, every village in the whole of the Roman Empire, right across the known world, in one generation. So the early church had a powerful apostolic life and was very successful with the gospel and turned their known world upside down, all of this before apostles were lost. And so if you're going to draw up that kind of timeline, you have to say, oh, well, after apostles are restored, then what must be restored is the apostolic life of the church. Then what must be restored is the powerful effect of an apostolic nation taking apostolic church taking the gospel to the nations. And in fact, this is what we will see, but it won't just be 100 years. There will be a very, very long period in which the world is discipled and under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and the nations become very fruitful, the fulfillment of many scriptures, including the one that says the kings will bring, you know, the glory of the nations into the New Jerusalem. That New Jerusalem being a reference to the church on earth in its gospel life. So, getting back to the immediate future, apostles will be more fully restored and apostolic authority will be restored. The apostles with that authority will lift up the fivefold ministry so that what you will have is a more fully restored, more filled with grace, more flowing in the real grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, a fivefold ministry, so as to lift up the church. And this brings us to a passage of Scripture that I wanted to look at you with all over again tonight. So we're going to take a fresh look at Ephesians 4 and verses 11 and then 12 and then 13. So this is a very well-known passage and quoted all the time by preachers and commonly referred to on this subject, but other subjects as well, and you'll be familiar with it. But if we give it a bit of context first of all, Ephesians chapter 4, the big picture here is Christ in his ascension ministering to the church. And it says that when he ascended, this is earlier in the chapter, it says, when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. And so the background setting of the verses we are about to read has Christ in his ascension. In other words, ruling and reigning as head of the church and as the ruler of the kings of the earth and all things under his command. So that is the background to what we are about to read. And now it says in verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. This is the leadership provided by grace for the church. The passage makes it plain, these are grace gifts. Not everybody is a prophet, not everybody a pastor, not everybody an apostle. He gave some to be. But in raising these gifts, they were gifts for the church. The church needs apostles, Christ sends them. The church needs pastors, Christ raises them, and so on and so forth. These are grace gifts. And so leaders find themselves with the call of God and they respond to it and begin to grow in grace, and they end up being a blessing to other people. The church needs this blessing. The church needs this leadership. Now, of particular note is a scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:28 that says, I mean, if anybody wanted to dispute that these were the leaders of the church, because the passage says, you know, they will minister to the church, they're gifts to the church, but are they the leaders? Is this leadership authority we're talking about here? So the verse that you need to note, aside from others, is 1 Corinthians 12:28, where Paul says specifically, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then, workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, and he lists of others. But you notice there's a change of language. He enumerates first, second, and third, you know, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, he stops numbering. So there are many gifts given to the church, but he makes it very clear that certain of these gifts are a first appointment. In other words, they're in leadership authority. And it's also clear from other passages. Now, it abbreviates it somewhat by saying apostles, prophets, teachers, and whereas we speak of the fivefold ministry, he's numbered the first, the second, and the fifth. The truth is, even though we call it a fivefold ministry, it can just as easily be thought of as a fourfold ministry, because the structure of the language is it's apostles, it's prophets, evangelists, and its pastors and teachers. It's kind of like a composite role. And the structure of the language puts those two together. And so, you know, it's been argued either way, but the truth is that in terms of the pastoral leadership of the church, in terms of the working with people in the church for their building together, we generally think of the apostles, the prophets, and the pastors and teachers, whereas evangelists are meant to lead the church, sure, but it's more into reaching the world. And so the scripture doesn't seem to make any provision at all for evangelists to be in government of the church. Leadership, yes, but government, no. The government of God begins with apostles. And if the church of the future is to have genuinely effective government, it must come from apostles. See, when you don't acknowledge apostolic authority as the government of the church, you've got to come up with some other authority. And if you don't allow for the authority that Christ established, then you're going to create your own. And of course, in history, when the church historically has largely been without understanding of apostles or how that role really works. Sure, they've come up with other kinds of church government to fill the gap. But the Holy Spirit, now that the church historically has been brought to the measure of maturity it has so far, now the Lord is restoring a proper relational and apostolic government to the church. Anyway, here we are. We have these grace gifts. Now it tells us in verse 12, what these are appointed to do. And so verse 12 says, they are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So there's a stated purpose that the body of Christ is to be trained and the body of Christ is to be built up. Now you could expand on all of that, but the point is, these are the people who must take the church and help it become something. equip the church for ministry, and help the church become mature. And this is, in fact, what we find if we read on to the next verse. The implications of verses 11 and 12 are worked out in verse 13. Because here we come to a very powerful statement. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so here is a description and a definition of what the church is meant to become under this grace leadership, with apostles as the first appointment in the government of God.